Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
And hi, girlfriend.
Hi, how are you doing, Mama?
Doing okay. Doing
cool,
okay.
Cool. I'm glad you're doing okay.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving, everyone. How was your Thanksgiving?
Well, it's over with. How does that sound?
I think it sounds great because what we were doing is we had been doing channeling, and you had channeled really this idea that let's end the year now. Let's start the new year today.
Well, I don't December know if the channeling 1st. Was for everyone, but for us, it was to consider the year done and, and start a new now.
Because why? And I, you say, I don't know if it was the information was for everyone. However, I think that sometimes the holiday season can be so overwhelming that if we could bring in the new year, like what if we started the new year with a celebration?
Yes.
How would that look? Yeah. How different would that look?
I just want to start, I feel like I wanted to start with just like, I called it a clean palate.
Yes, you've been really focusing on that.
What I meant by that was just a freshness.
Yeah.
Because it just seems like these days leading up to Christmas just get, and I'm not a girl anymore that likes clutter.
Right.
And it just keeps getting more and more and more cluttered.
Yes.
And as we're supposed to be more and more joyful, I'm feeling more and more broken.
Yeah.
Did I say broken or broke?
No. You said both. You meant both.
They're just, you know, I somehow watching all the movies and the commercials and everything for me takes the joy out of it.
Yeah.
Like how am I supposed to be that happy?
Right.
How does one person become that joyful?
How
I know
does
I woke
one
up on Thanksgiving and you
joyful.
Said, you said, Mama, I'm thankful for you. I think that's what you said.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds like me.
And I kind of rolled over and opened one eye and went, oh, I'm thankful for you too. Yeah. But let me sleep, kid. Get out of here. You bother me.
Yeah, like I'm a little child jumping into bed with her parents. Hey, guys, it's Thanksgiving. When are we making the pies? What's going on? Who's coming over? Life's so happy.
Well, we did become happy because we watched a not Netflix, but an Amazon Prime comedy with Jim Gaffigan.
Yes.
And we laughed.
Oh, it was good.
I mean, you know, he is just funny. I don't know how many hours of him I could take in a row.
Yeah.
But he's just got a way with him. He's funny. He doesn't cuss. Not that I'm against cussing.
No, you're all
I'm
in
definitely
it.
Not against cussing. Uh-huh. But that's a certain sense of humor.
Right.
That I don't know if I would have. And then after that show, it was called Quality Time with Jim Gaffigan. Norm said that he wanted to be a joke writer. And then
he did. Okay.
He said he wanted to be one.
Lovely.
And then he told me a joke that he had written.
Uh-huh.
And I was just waiting for the punchline.
Mm-hmm. And that never came?
And he said, well, that was the joke.
Oh, okay.
And then I just stopped. And he goes, well, you have to understand there's a joke in there somewhere, right? And I went, and he goes, let's be comedy writers together. That was.
Let's do this together as a couple.
Now we can do it together. Yeah. Once he realized that that this joke just didn't go over, and I don't even remember what it was. It was something about Christmas, though.
Was it?
Sweet. I can't remember. I have to call him in and ask him.
He's conveniently out with the Elliot right now.
Yeah.
So we can't call him in. Well, I love because he's trying so hard, and
he does.
Dr. Drew said that comedy is now the new poetry. It's how we're defining the world around us. You believe it. I believe it too. Because
that's why
I changed
laugh with the girlfriends.
Right.
Well, it's either or now. We can do both.
The reason why I say it's like that is because the cream is not rising. There's just a lot more.
There's
milk
a lot
out
more,
there.
There's a 2%. Lot more comics and poets out there.
Yeah, exactly. There's a lot more 2% milk out there, and it's easy accessible.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really want the cream. I want the cream. I mean, you know, not really into the 2%. I'll take a whole milk. I take organic whole milk. That's even harder to find because there's so much comedy. We watched another guy. I can't think of his name.
Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah, he's a comedian.
I guess
stand up comedian.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I thought this was a comedy era. stand-up yes, comedy
we
thing.
We thought it was.
But what it really was a one-man show.
Correct.
And
they should have said that.
It would have been more appropriate. It was funny, though.
Yeah, we would have known what we were getting in for.
And here's what's going on, is that both Gaffigan, no.
Yeah, Jim Gaffigan.
Jim Gaffigan and this guy.
Mike Birbiglia.
Yes. They both crossed a threshold with me, which was they broke the hour mark. I like yes. watching yes. comedy shows yeah. or comedy specials yeah. because they're typically 55 minutes long.
59 minutes long.
They're edited, yes. you know? I know you've done an hour someplace yeah. or 2 hours. Yeah.
And you had to get a tight hour out
right.
of that.
Right. Give me a tight hour.
Yeah.
Because I believe that you can give me a tight hour.
You hope so.
But now they're crossing that line.
They broke the wall.
Yes. Yeah. I don't want that. And I
now,
really want to be
now
consistent.
It was an hour and like 10 minutes, an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And really, you were like, Dad was on a carbo high.
Yes.
During this, during Gaffigan.
Yes, he was.
And he laughed so hard, he cried several times.
Because it was after Thanksgiving meal. Right. And we right. chose.
Yes. We chose not to do turkey this year because it was just going to be the three of us. We thought maybe Doug would come over, but he didn't.
Right.
But so it was just the three of us, and we chose what we wanted to have, which was carbs.
Yes.
Which was pasta.
Because back in the day, we used
beautiful
to have that
pasta.
More often, and yeah. now we don't.
So it was awesome.
It was awesome.
So good.
And we had bread.
We had
unapologetic bread.
Yeah. We had great bread.
Yes.
It was warm and crusty on the outside and freaking.
Can I give Aldi a plug?
Yeah.
I want to give Aldi a plug.
Yeah.
Okay. We have searched the globe for some really good
yeah.
crusty bread.
We want, this is what, when
soft the inside,
when you have to
crusty.
Have bread, you gotta, you can't just blow it on some crap.
No, you really can't.
No.
You go to any store and you buy Italian bread, it's typically not crusty. It's
no.
soft.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But I really want a yeah. crusty, thick bread.
Yeah.
Well, Aldi has a bread that you have to bake for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
They say 10 to 12. We like to do a little more crust on
right.
it. So about 15 minutes.
Right.
It's already done, but you buy it in their bread aisle, and, mm-hmm. and then you take it home and you put it in the oven 15 minutes, and it literally is the most perfect
so
bread
beautiful.
Ever. It's just perfect.
It's so crunchy on
yeah.
the outside, and on the inside it's like ooey and
gooey.
Oh
my gosh. And that plus homemade, well, we didn't have homemade pasta, but we had homemade sauce.
Right. We had homemade
and,
sauce.
Yeah.
We bought the noodles.
Yes.
We could have made the noodles, I guess. But
I, oh my God.
Not for Thanksgiving.
Not for Thanksgiving.
We wanted to be expedient.
Also, I can't figure out how to make penne pasta homemade.
When what else was nice about it,
yeah.
too, is we didn't have frickin' pie.
No, we had
because
cheesecake.
Because why would pumpkin pie go with pasta?
Wouldn't go. I've never heard it paired.
No.
Never done.
But we had cheesecake.
Yes.
And so Dad was definitely on a carbo high, and
yes.
he was just crying
yes.
at everything Jim Gaffigan said.
Oh, like
and
crying.
You and I looked over and went, We shook our heads.
Yeah,
like,
this is it.
He's in a carbo
this is it.
Haze.
I think I woke up this morning going, okay, Thanksgiving's over for 3 days now. And
thank God Thanksgiving's
yeah.
over.
And you know,
excuse
back,
me, Friendsgiving.
Friendsgiving. Yeah. And
hold on, people.
Hold on, people. It's Greg. Yeah, so we got a phone call.
We got interrupted by your brother, my
yes,
son.
Exactly.
Speaking, were we just speaking about him?
We no. might have been. Yeah. I believe he had a full blown Thanksgiving meal.
Oh yeah,
you know
he had true traditional Thanksgiving.
Yes,
I think they baked a turkey and
yes.
they had all their clan over.
Exactly, and we had Comedy Central. We had Amazon and Netflix comedy stuff, and then we also watched. Before we made the meal.
Yes.
Bikram.
Oh, I know.
And that was fascinating.
I know.
That documentary.
It's an hour and a half documentary on Bikram yoga.
Yes.
He invented the hot yoga.
Yes.
And I had never, you know, I had heard things, but when I was coming up in the ranks, he was the hottest thing.
Yes.
If you could end up going to the West Coast and getting into a Bikram yoga class, you were like, oh, my God, you made it.
Yeah, you made it.
But
and it was just
this
like,
was a little bit behind the scenes. And he had a saying. He said, there's only four things in this world you don't want cold.
Yeah.
This is what he said.
Watch your mouth.
Me?
No.
You don't like cold water?
No. No. Cold food.
Cold food.
Cold heart.
Cold heart.
Cold weather.
No cold weather.
And cold kitty cats. the other name for that.
Jeez, Julie. Oh, my God.
Well, we know what we're saying. And he just came out and said it. And, like, this was in his deposition that he said this.
Yeah, he said in his deposition.
Yeah.
They asked him, Bikram, what are the four things that you don't like that you say you can, that you don't want cold? I will answer that question. I will not take the fifth on that one.
Yeah, he was taking the fifth all over the place. But this one, he said, no, I'll tell you.
Have you
sure.
had sex with underage women? And you go, I take the fifth. What are the four things that you don't like? The four cold things that you don't like. I'll answer. Cold weather, cold food, cold heart, cold pussy.
Yeah, like oh, thank you.
Okay. I can say it because.
You're the mommy.
Yeah, I'm the mommy.
Exactly. I totally get it. Yeah. Totally get it. I understand.
Yeah.
But you go, what? Say what? And you realize he's a man unhinged.
Yeah.
And when you...
A man on narcissism.
And what you...
Hopped up on narcissism.
You know, Joe Rogan has a thing he's been saying a lot in this last year about cults.
Yeah.
That really cults only happen so that the man can have as much sex as he want with a variety of people.
Yeah. That happened with Bikram.
Yes. And you saw the lines get blurred so easily.
Mm-hmm.
And what would happen was, you know, okay, I don't know what happened when he was young.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bet when he was younger, it felt different to the women that he was hitting on.
Yeah.
But once he's turned into an older man.
60 years old.
You know, hitting on these 20-something-year-olds.
Yeah.
These 20-year-olds, I mean, he's married. He has kids. There's no, he's
raping women.
Yes. I mean, he's definitely, yes, he really is. I mean.
Aren't they having sex against their will?
Yes.
Or sort of against their will.
I mean, yes, all of the above.
Yeah, because
multiple incidences.
Because if it's a man in power and you're like, I don't really want to do this. He's a 60-year-old guy.
Right.
But he's my guru.
Right.
Guru needs me.
And also, yes. And also, I need to pass his teaching course because I've spent 10 grand on it. And I want to start teaching this
he's
in my yoga class. And if I can get certified in his yoga techniques, then therefore, excuse me, his techniques? No, they're thousands of years old. But what they are is as he quotes it, I've put them in a specific
order. I have 26 poses in a specific order.
And then I turn the heat on.
I trademark that.
Yes, I'm going to trademark cold yoga. Because the more you shiver, the better it is for your health.
I'm gonna trademark Noga.
Noga.
I think it's already happened.
Oh, yeah. Already happened.
Yeah.
And then just going, please. Well, then you know, so that was kind of, but it was such a fascinating thing for me because I could see that there was just this gray area. Not, and I don't mean that.
I mean,
yes and no.
He wasn't Epstein. No, not Epstein. Weinstein.
Or Epstein, either one. Or one. Yes.
But close.
Close.
Yeah.
Well, and also, too, this is where, you know, we think of rape as before, as a guy, just a stranger
in
coming
an alley.
And breaking out. Yeah, breaking in and then the rape. You're like, well, that's definitely rape.
Yeah.
Here, he uses his power.
He's your guru, and you're used to coming in and massaging his feet, and then he wants you to go a little higher.
Yes.
And then a little higher.
And you're just like, what?
What's the difference between 1 inch and...
And then you realize, and no one feels confident enough to say, knock it off.
Yeah.
I'm paying you.
Yeah.
And then he goes, well, and if he yells at you, I want my money back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think nowadays
and
you
then
go,
but then he would like ruin your reputation.
And maybe
class.
Because social media now is like, I'm going to post a Yelp review. You know, I'm going to post a Yelp review everywhere. Because we're also afraid of our Yelp reviews. Yeah.
Can I say something funny about a Yelp review? In the Jim Gaffigan comedy special.
Yeah.
He's touring Europe. He's doing actual tours on Europe. So he's taking his kids along because it's summer. And so he's going to introduce them to some culture while he's doing some gigs and stuff. So he's looking at, they're in is it Sweden or Norway?
Amsterdam.
And he's going to visit the Anne Frank house. And he's going there, and he looks on the Yelp thing, you know, and he's like, "What? This is like 4.5 stars out of 5." He goes, "How can someone rate the Anne Frank house?
Yeah,
give it
not
a poor
a
review.
Yeah.
Out of 5." And then he looked on the Yelp thing, and one person said, "I thought it was Anne's Frank house, and I was expecting hot dogs, but this was a bust. I'm giving you a poor review."
He said he took his kids, his younger sons there, and they were like, "Hey, are there video games here?" And they're like, "No, and you need to shut up now. Stop talking. You're not allowed to talk." So I guess, you know, if you thought it was a place to get the best, you know, hot dogs,
yeah,
and you're like, "Uh-huh, I'm waiting a long time to see an attic. This is horrible." Do you remember how, like, I think it was this year, some of her non-published works came out, and it was kind of cute, mm-hmm, because she had written there were diary stuff about just like girl stuff and
yeah,
fun stuff, and it's something a young girl would write about.
Yeah, like she had a little crush on the barista down in the down the first floor.
Exactly. that could never work out though.
But you know, I am. You know, here is a thing that people are having problems with though.
Okay,
this is a social issue. A lot of people are having problems falling in love with their baristas. They actually think that baristas have crushes on them.
Right.
And so they think that they have to ask their barista out. They fall in love. They have a secret life. All involving their barista. Men and women.
Yes.
And so I think that people have gone too far. So what are we not being... Okay. First of all, the barista knows their names.
Yes.
That's because they write it on the cup.
Yes.
So,
and they have like quote unquote nicknames for customers because, hey, they don't want to remember your name.
Blue eyes.
Yeah, hey, blue eyes.
Saliva dripping out of your mouth.
Red lipstick.
Yeah. But you know, I've come across this several times now where, you know, because the barista is exceptionally nice.
Yes.
Exceptionally friendly.
Right.
And knows your name. And I guess they'd work on tips.
Yeah,
possibly.
They do. They have a tip jar there.
A tip jar
I would
there.
Say most people don't put tip in the tip jar.
Oh, yeah?
I would think that.
So, but here's the thing, though. But so then when you...
Can I ask you a quick question? Did you guys put tip in the tip jar?
Yesterday
you got a Starbucks.
Yeah, we went to the drive thru.
They have a tip jar there.
No, they don't.
Oh yeah, they do.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Oops.
Okay, now that you know that, will you I would.
Here's the thing. It costs us, I think, for two Starbucks, I think it's like $5.68.
Right.
And we always give like $6, and Dad always waits for his change. But now we can just give him that change.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. So like, you know, it's like 30 cents, 30 cents, 30 cents, 30 cents, 30 cents, you know, or whatever. You know? Yeah, so, I mean, they could actually make an extra $5 an hour easily.
I don't know. That's a little high, but maybe.
Going to the...
If they're making 30 cents, I bet you're totally right.
Yeah.
I bet you're totally
right.
And
maybe some people leave more than 30
And then
cents.
You have to split it among everybody. I think...
Oh, do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
The managers... It was funny. There was a lawsuit because the managers wanted to be in on the tips as well. They're like,
yeah,
"Well, we're part. We make our burrito."
Well, sure.
And the underlings or whatever the baristas said, "No, you guys get a salary.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't get our tips as well."
Don't they get a salary?
They get an hourly wage.
Oh, an hourly wage. Got it.
And so there was a lawsuit, and I can't remember what the end result was.
Oh my god!
I was just like, "Oh, you guys."
Yeah.
First off, I'm just saying, maybe not make Starbucks a barista your career.
Yeah.
Like, so that you're so damn invested in it that that you got to go through a lawsuit. You know, I mean, come on, right?
So do you think, I mean, I've heard about incels, you know, involuntary celibate males.
Yes, you've heard about that.
Falling in love with baristas.
Yes.
And then when the barista turns them down because... They may be married. They have a life. But because they are absolutely been friendly, called them by their names, know them, what kind of, you know, drink that they order every day.
Right.
And they get turned down. And then the incel decides to, like, blow up the store or
right.
hurt that person, put a curse on him or something.
Right, right.
I don't know. Like, I was watching this show last night, and a girl, she was a, well, she was divorced, but she found herself suddenly lesbian.
Okay.
From the Isle of Sapphos.
Okay.
And she fell in love with her barista.
Uh-huh.
And she was talking to her barista and said, you know, I think you look nice. I put on high heels for you. And she goes, oh, I think I know what you want. She goes, you do? She goes, yeah, I think you'd like a job application. And she went, oh yeah. Well, let me sit down and talk to you. And so, you know, they sat down and talked. And then finally, you know, she realizes that. She says, are you, you know, I'm kind of interested in you in that way. And she, because she had mentioned that she had just broken up with her girlfriend.
Right. The barista says,
yeah,
this. Okay.
And then she
said, give these girls' names so I know what you're talking about.
Beth
is the barista.
Yeah.
And Laura,
Lisa
is the, okay,
yeah,
is the divorced,
yeah, and
person.
Beth goes to Lisa, I'm so sorry, but you're not my type.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, even though she was a lesbian.
Right.
She wasn't her type. And so her heart got broken.
Yeah.
So these baristas are just leaving these lonely people in a, just a wake of unhappiness and sadness.
So in so many ways, it is... When they were being trained and they said, one of your jobs is to be a nice, almost borderline flirty barista.
Yeah.
Make our customers happy.
Yeah. I think there's something wrong and flawed in the training.
There's something wrong and flawed in the training.
Because if you end up thinking that that person has a crush on you.
Yes. And you can have a crush on a barista, but don't ask him out. What they could do.
I like that.
I think Starbucks should have a dating app of available baristas.
Oh.
And then if you want to approach them, you can't approach them in the store.
Yeah.
You can approach them on the app.
Yeah.
They may swipe left or right. I don't know.
I don't
know.
But
that's their opportunity.
See, I'm not sure, Jules, because like as a therapist, you cannot date a patient. You have to actually stop the relationship, close the file up, put it away, recommend them to another therapist, then you can date them.
So you're saying that the barista, if you want to date that barista,
she's got to quit her job.
Or you have to go to a different Starbucks, which is grateful there's one
the That's true.
You know.
That's true.
So like, okay. So got it.
So she loses her tip money.
She loses her tip money. So in some ways, it's not beneficial for Starbucks to have good-looking baristas.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden, like, well, I want to hit on her. I want to date her or him. And therefore, I got to go to a different Starbucks.
Well, do you like the idea, though, of feeling special by your barista? Like, what if, like Greg says that sometimes he's like, you know, or whatever, and he'll go to his barista, and she goes, I'll bring it out to the car for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, that's extra service.
It's customer service.
That's customer service or extra service?
It's customer service.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, but what does Greg think about that?
I think in this day and age, every man should think that they are being nothing but customer service professional. And they are meant, because I got to tell you something. These people at work at Starbucks, these people are probably similar to me in the sense of this. They're probably a little bit on the hippie side, just a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I sometimes go down the street thinking, I'm going to give everyone a gift today, a gift of my smile.
I know you do.
And I go, hi, how you doing? Hi, how you doing?
You are so nice.
Yeah.
You'll pay for the person in front of you and in back of you.
And
as you go through Starbucks.
And so,
think about that, people.
It's a perplexing perplexing dilemma.
It's a roan, a cone inside of a
I can't figure it out.
Inside of a mystery.
I get it. But and so I can understand that you just go, okay. I think every man now should realize that no barista is hitting on you.
Mm-hmm.
They're just being nice. Mm-hmm. Now, they may think, oh, he's cute. But guess what? I hate to tell you this. You only may have one barista in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That barista has 100 of you guys.
Yeah.
So if you're slightly cute and attractive,
yeah.
Well, guess what? I don't need to break your bubble or burst your bubble,
mm-hmm.
whatever you do to bubbles. It is not, she sees a lot more of them.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cute guys coming in, you know, and so forth. But there's only one barista in your life.
You're just a latte with extra
cream
latte.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't even know what those drinks are. I just know black coffee.
That I can't. I don't like Starbucks. I feel so incredibly because I don't like coffee, but I'm getting used to the drinking it. Like mm-hmm. I like it with cream, and I like it with a little bit of Splenda. Mm-hmm. Great. But because I'm not enough, I don't like it black, mm-hmm. it just seems so wasteful for me to get a Starbucks coffee.
Because of the price.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know, I'll tell you what though. Okay. At my McDonald's.
Yes.
In Oregon, where I go when I don't get my Starbucks.
Yes.
Guess who serves me my coffee? A 95-year-old guy.
Yes.
And as Julie says, he wants to be there. I love it. Julie's so nice. We'll see like a 100-year-old woman pushing carts at Walmart.
She wants to do that.
She wants to do this. And like, you cannot convince me of that. And she had this is what they.
At this tender age. She wants to be doing this.
This was plan A.
This was plan A. Yeah. This was plan A. Yeah. I'm not saying it was plan A. They might have wanted to have a farm with and keep bees for all I know. Or they might have wanted to.
That's
have a,
plan B.
That's, you know, exactly. They may have wanted to have a farm, you know, growing, you know, heather or lavender and make lavender soap after they retire. And then
sell organic honey.
And after investing every drop of they've saved their entire life in this stupid ass farm.
Yeah,
they're going, I'm going to get a job at Culver's.
Jill, you just told Dad and our story.
I know, I did.
How'd you do that?
It was
in like three seconds. You told the story of our life.
Exactly, I can foresee it.
I want to tell a story on you though.
Go, okay, please do.
Because I just mentioned how nice you were about paying for people behind us and everything.
Yes, sure, yeah.
You got up a couple mornings ago. And took Elliot out for his walk, and you were back like in a few minutes, and you said, "We have an issue, Mom."
Yeah.
I go, "Oh my God, what's the issue?"
Yeah.
And you said, "There is that black dog is just sitting in the middle of our street," and so of course Elliot would go ape shit, you know. So you brought him back, and we looked out, and there's this big black dog. And he's just sitting in the middle of the street. And we know this black dog because every day this old guy walks by our house, same time, same station.
It's about a mile walk every day.
We think.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
I know. I see the loop. I know the loop.
Oh, yeah. He makes the loop. Okay. And his dog is just sitting in the middle of our street. So we know that he's an old guy. We know that he's pretty portund.
Yes.
That means sort of chunky.
And he's got an interesting body. He's thin everywhere.
But he's got a huge Santa Claus belly.
And he's got a very deep accent. I think German, but I'm not 100%
sure. And yeah, English is not his first language.
Right.
We barely know if he speaks English.
Right.
But here's his dog. So Julie comes in and says, we have an issue.
Yeah, I have a situation.
And so we immediately
there's a problem.
We immediately go into neighborhood watch mode. Because we live in the country. We live 18 miles away from the nearest services.
Right.
And so we kind of have to, and we like living like we live, where we know everybody to say hi, but we don't know everybody.
Right.
And that's the way we like it. We're going to help a fella out if they need it. That's like everybody does for us.
Right.
But otherwise, you're not invited to tea and crumpets every day.
Exactly.
So we go into emergency mode. So Julie gets in her car. We put Elliot up, and you start looking for the owner. And at this point, which is interesting, the dog gets up and does this kind of pointer motion.
Yes. He's like, a big black lab. He's pointing like...
He points with his tail out and his one leg out.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, oh, Timmy... Lassie, where was Lassie? Timmy's in the well, Lassie. Yes. I don't know, something like that. You know? And so you're going around and you see another couple who have noticed this dog.
Is that correct? No, yes, yeah, sort of, yeah. So I'm now with the dog and I see another car coming with their bright blinkers on.
You're trying to get the dog into the car, is that right?
Possibly. It's a fluid situation. Don't know really what's going
on. It's in crisis.
But I'm talking, I can't find the owner anywhere.
No.
And
he's not in a ditch or a culvert, which is what we thought.
I thought maybe he was taking a piss, to be honest with you.
Did you really?
Yeah.
But the dog's not moving at this point, but he's standing up and pointing in a certain direction.
And he goes, oh, my husband just called me saying on his way to work that there's that big black dog is just in the middle of the road, not moving. And so we came down to see if we could find the owner. Like, what's going on? I said, hey, do you know where he lives, the owner lives? Maybe he just got loose. He goes, we don't. We see him walking
by. Every day, and we see him walking. That's how we see him every day.
We don't know where he lives.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh. And so I call the head of the utility.
Because Julie is treasurer of the utility. So she calls the president.
Yep. And then I call the.
And she doesn't know who this guy is.
No. And I call the head of the property owner association. She doesn't know. And then in the meantime, you're trying to call me.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, I'm also trying to negotiate with these people. Like, hey, do you want to take the dog?
Since we don't know where he lives.
And he goes, no. I'm like, oh.
I knew that you were going to take that damn dog. Because you take any kind of dog will go into our car.
Right.
Wet, dry, doesn't matter.
And then so anyway, he goes, so then you called me and you called once. I didn't answer because I was on the phone with somebody else.
Right.
And then you called back right away. And I said, he's walking right by our house now. Yeah.
I saw him walking right by our house. The old guy.
I think the obvious question is, does he have a dog with him?
Because and I said, no.
I'm like, thank God. Yeah. There's still a slight chance this dog does not belong to him.
Right, right.
You know, I'm assuming a black lab is not like, oh my God, it's a unicorn. Who has no one? It's a black lab. It's a unicorn. Everybody and their brother out here has a black lab. You know, it's like, oh, black lab. Yeah, and they all shove it in my face, too. Look, Julie, we can walk our black lab off leash. You know, look, Julie.
Even though it's against the rules. Out here, black labs are the Walmarts of the...
Yes. And they don't bark at squirrels. Yeah. They don't bark at oncoming traffic. Yeah, they shove it in my face that my dog is so, you know... behavior disordered.
Yeah. Well, anyway, what did I call him today? I just said, he's smart, but what is he? I said, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
I think that's really true.
So anyway, you called me and I'm like, oh my God. So I told the people, I said, my mom just called and the guy's walking in front of our house right now.
Yeah.
So that's good. And he's walking this way. And so then now we're just waiting for him to come into view.
Yeah.
And this is the longest 2 or 3 minutes of our lives.
And waiting.
And I'm like, there he is.
We see the guy.
Oh, Christ inverted. He's finally here walking.
And we think that you think the dog is going to like, oh my God, my master.
Yeah. And he gets a little kicking his step. No. He starts walking in the other direction. Like, and I'm like, no, let's go back to your owner. Come on. And we had to coax him. And finally, my feeling is he didn't recognize his owner from a distance. You know, the black lab had a little gray around his beard.
Yeah.
He might be getting a little old.
Did you talk to the guy? Did
he say this is because I want to get the heck out of there?
Okay, I thought he said something like he just didn't feel like coming along.
Exactly what
I thought,
he said.
Well, you stay there then.
Yeah. At some point, I thought he would come and find me.
Yeah.
But he just didn't.
He just didn't want
to
go.
He decided to sit down the road and he wouldn't move.
Yeah.
And so I just assumed that he would catch up.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
And then he just never did. So he walked literally a half a mile.
Yeah.
The owner did.
Yeah.
And he's like, where's my dog at? I'm sure at some point he's not backtracking.
Yeah.
He's like, I got to finish this up.
Yeah.
At some point, we're all good. And then I felt like, oh, the dog was just being a bad teenager, really.
Yeah.
Or he was in pain, like, hey, you go walk. I'll stand guard here. You go do the lab.
We just don't know anymore.
We don't know anymore.
Because in dog years, you don't know if they're 59, 84.
13.
Yeah.
17.
You're thinking either he's a rebellious teenager or just a chronically in pain old person.
Right. And either one is not fun to be around. Let's just be real. Let's just be real.
Yeah. There's only a small window where an adult is fun to be around. And that's a pretty small window.
I think it's 50.
You think?
I think it's 50.
Maybe their kids are grown.
And also, women aren't worried about childbearing years.
Mm.
There's not this dealio. Mm. You're kind of calm. Life is what it is right now. There's not these huge expectations of life going to be so automatically awesome. And not these huge expectations that life are going to be horrible. You know, it's like, this is life.
Yeah.
It's good.
Well, you know, last night we saw a 3.5-hour movie.
Yes.
Called The Irishman on... Netflix, I think.
Yes.
Irishman. I didn't say Irishman, but Irishman. And it's a Martin Scorsese. It's a tough guy, Italian, everything that you think a Martin Scorsese movie is going to be. Pacino, De Niro, Harvey Keitel. But it's a kind of about Jimmy Hoffa. And when the head of the mob, when they tell you code, tell so and so it is what it is.
Yeah.
That means that you're going to get a hit on you. Because basically they've tried to negotiate with you. They've tried to make you, you know, succumb to what they wanted you to do. And if you didn't do it, you didn't do it. And at some point they just decide that you weren't worth it. They go, tell them it is what it is.
Yeah.
And that's the code for look out. You're either going to get a car bomb.
It is what it is.
A couple of bullets coming out of your favorite bar.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know.
It is what it is.
So when you say it is what it is, I now think of
that you're
that's the end. That's so, hey, girlfriend.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
Well, and I don't know.
Dad said he had a bad energy after that movie.
I can't understand that.
He had to shake it off.
Well first off.
Unfortunately, it was midnight.
Yeah.
What
I
did
walk
you do?
In from going to the Oregon Walk of Lights.
Candlelight.
Yeah. And
Candlelight walk.
It was 34 degrees and raining, or 36 and raining. Mm-hmm. So I would have liked it to have been like 30 and snowing, mm-hmm. because aww. it wouldn't have been so wet.
Yeah, but it would have been perfectly beautiful.
Snow-like, yeah.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't very active.
Yeah.
And Doug's daughter, Hillary, is the manager of the library there. So they had a harpist and a guitar player. That was lovely. And they had cookies and all this fun stuff. And so it was a lovely time, per se, you know. And then I come home about 8 o'clock, I think. Closer to 9, I think it was.
I think it was, too. It was about 8:30. Yeah.
Because
we had just finished watching that whole series, Happy, Merry, whatever.
Right.
Dennis Quaid.
And I asked you, and you go, I walk in, you go, glad you're walking in. We're going to start The Irishman now. Do you want to come and join
us? Like, literally, we just started.
And I said, you know it's a 3.5-hour movie, right? You know this. And it's like 8:30 at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're giving ourselves the flexibility to turn it off whenever we want to.
Yes, we did. That's right.
And I'm like, well, that's good. I'm glad you're giving yourself
3.5 hours later.
We watched the damn thing, all the whole thing. What was most fascinating is seeing how Scorsese aged everybody.
Yeah.
And then made him young again.
It was interesting because it was three age groups.
Yeah.
That these people who were 76 to 79 years old they went from like maybe in their 40s maybe.
Yeah, maybe 30s.
To maybe in their 60s.
Yeah.
To in their like 80s or whatever.
Now, does De Niro have blue eyes?
I don't know.
Because he was wearing blue eyes. Looks like he had contacts on.
Yeah, I don't know.
But his eyes were blue in this movie. Mm-hmm. And I still can't, if you gave me a multiple choice questionnaire, I'm not really sure who the Irishman was.
Yeah, me
because,
too.
Because, there's one part, Joe Pesci saying to De Niro, I'm giving you this ring. Only three people in this world have this ring, and only one's an Irishman.
Yeah.
And he names the other two, and I'm like, they're definitely Italian. And I'm like, well, who's the Irishman? Is it De Niro? Because he talks about, though, coming from this one town in Italy with Joe Pesci. So is he half Italian, half Italian?
Well, Dad said that he's Irish, but the reason he knows Italian and everything was that he was stationed there in the war.
Oh, is that the reason
some
why?
Some of his band of brothers, and that's why he spoke fluent Italian. We're not sure.
We're not 100%
sure. There's a lot of things that we weren't sure on.
Yeah. And it wasn't necessary. It was a lot of weird violence.
Yeah.
Weird. And you're going, oh, this is definitely how this stuff went down.
Yeah.
I mean, this is how.
It was because I lived a life. I lived through that a lot.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of it happened in Chicago. And like, brought on the south side of Chicago. And like, we'd be there at my Nona's house. And we'd just hear, you know, gunshots and cars squealing by. And I mean, we knew, like, you know, that this, we grew up knowing that this stuff happened.
Yeah.
We just grew up, like, I mean, you talked about our friend who's Italian, and she grew up knowing that when somebody is dead to you, they literally
are dead to
they
you.
They literally are become dead to you.
They not just figuratively.
No.
They're literally dead to you. They're literally dead.
Yeah.
There you go. And those things are not common anymore. I mean, they're just not as common.
I thought it was funny, though, because Hoff is talking, and he makes some kind of a WAP comment.
Yeah.
And you do not do that.
Mm-mm.
And he said, you people.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know, you Tonys.
Yeah.
Everybody is Tony. Tony who? Tony brown eyes, Tony big nose, Tony big ears, you know. And I had to laugh because my dad's name was Tony D'Antoni.
Yeah. It wasn't really your name.
No,
they
but that's
him.
What everybody called him.
Tony D'Antoni.
Yeah, exactly.
My name's not Tony. Devo.
But everybody said, you know.
Yeah, that's it. And it's a stereotype that's not necessarily true, but kind of true. So they just embrace it.
Well, Martin Scorsese, I'm sure he's
Tony Scorsese.
I'm sure he's met Tony or two.
For sure.
So is Pacino.
It ended sadly because you saw, every life... You die. Every life ends, right?
Yeah.
And so, in so many ways, everybody's life is just, it's nothing.
Well, I don't know if we said this last week, but this idea that if you want to have a happy ending, you have to end the story a little bit sooner.
Or know when to end it.
Know when to end the story.
Yeah.
If you're telling a tale and you want a happy ending, you have to know when to end it.
Right.
It all ends up in shite.
Well, like Cinderella, the story ends when she's, you know, getting married, right? And like there's a big party and we see her walking down the big steps with her prince, right? And then the story ends, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think that's how it goes.
I think so. I don't really know.
We don't see like, oh, by the way, 30 years later, you know, kids have been addicted to crack more often than not, you know? They're not coming to see you at the holidays.
Yeah. Her beautiful... High heel slippers or Doc Martens.
Exactly. Yeah, like, oh, there's a lot of life going on in the midst of your life.
Yeah.
And then at some point, you die. You were saying that you had watched this show, Happy Mary, whatever.
Yeah.
Dennis Quaid's in it.
Yes.
It's a very wild or weird show because it's 26 minutes. Like it's a normal.
It's like 24 minutes.
They've
on Netflix.
Made it 24 minutes so that if somebody bought it for. They could put commercials in it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
And what I find, first of all, I find interesting is that if you now watch TV, like this morning I had on Moms on some channel in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized that the show times were 6:55 to 7:30. 7:30 to 8:05.
They got
to
get more commercials in now.
They're making them 5 minutes longer.
And those are commercials.
See, hell yeah, they're commercials. They didn't add 5 minutes of content.
No.
So now they've taken a 30-minute show and made it 35-minute show.
Well, they've made a 22-minute episode.
Yeah.
35 minutes.
And I don't know if it's because what they want to do then is...
They just got to sell more of Cindy Crawford makeup.
Exactly. But I also wonder if...
Or an air fryer.
An air fryer, right?
Or a copper...
copper pan.
Or a Johnny Copper underpants or whatever. Tommy Copper.
Yeah, copper's so important right now.
No, I know it is.
It's good for the pipes in your house. It's good for, you know, underwear. And what you can cook in. Hey, what you got cooking in those pants? An egg. They're made out of copper. Non-stick copper, if you want to be exact.
Motherfuckers. Non-stick. These underpants are non-stick.
Exactly. I take them camping with me. They do dual functions, which is what you know must happen when you go camping.
Have you seen me pick my butt in these underpants? No. They're non-stick.
Non-stick.
No wedgies.
Exactly.
I don't know where I'm going with this.
I don't know either, but you're just free-flowing, free-rapping. I love it. I love it. So... Yeah, I. What would you give it if you were going to rate it as a professional Netflix rater?
Happy Mary, whatever.
No, the other one.
The Irishman?
Yeah.
It's no Anne Frank's house.
Well, I mean, I would have given it 4 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, I'd give it 4 out of 5.
Just because it was so fascinating.
Yeah,
if I was younger, I may not have given it any stars.
Yeah.
Like, who's this Hoffa dude?
Yeah.
Why
who's
is it
Jimmy
so
Hoffa?
What was really weird.
I thought it was lovely because, I mean, Dad was a teamster.
Yeah.
At the exact time that all this was going down.
Yeah.
And you didn't know from one day to the next who was going to be head of the Teamsters and if they were going to go under. Everybody was trying to deregulate it so that... They wouldn't have to pay them wages, and in some ways, we make the same now as we did before Jimmy Hoffa, quote unquote, disappeared.
When I heard that his wife was head of a of a of of the board of one of the unions, a president, and she was getting paid $48,000 a year back in the 70s. That was good money.
Yeah.
That was really good money.
Yes, hell yeah, that was good money in the 70s.
So very, very interesting.
Yeah, I would definitely give it a 4 out of 5. But what was really interesting is seeing Pacino, De Niro,
Pesci,
all
act. Ray Romano.
Ray Romano held his own. I'm really appreciative of him right now.
Exactly.
But to see these old guys act,
mm-hmm.
and you know, who knows? Everybody's going like this. If I could get in on some of that Netflix money, I'd get in on it.
They are cranking out content like crazy.
Yeah.
And they're using a lot of the same actors, which I'm appreciative of.
Yeah.
It's like the actors are just acting now. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they get paid. I don't kind of budget these things have.
I'd like to know how much Harvey Keitel got paid because he literally was in 2 scenes.
But I agree and didn't say Jack. Didn't say more than 3.
Yeah, I don't know if they were like propping him up or what.
Anna Paquin, is that her name?
Yeah, Anna Paquin.
I don't think she said more than a word.
She did not say more than 4 words.
And, you know, she got like 5th billing.
I think she said, why?
Yeah, why?
What are you saying, why? Peggy? Why?
Why didn't you call her? And meaning, oops, I can't tell you why.
But I think that's all she said, though.
That's all she said. That was literally, I think those were the only words.
Yeah.
Except she looked pissed and freaked out the whole half the movie. Because part of the movie, she's a young kid. And her young kid persona just looked vacant as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so forth. But
it was based on a book.
Oh, was it?
Uh-huh. I think the book was called I Heard You Paint Houses.
Oh.
Or it was called The Irishman. I don't know which.
Yeah, because that was a very odd way of connecting the two.
Well, that was the first thing in the movie. Pesci calls up this guy.
Yeah.
Which is De Niro and says, I heard you paint houses.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning of this long, decades-long relationship.
Right.
Where Pesci goes, I treat you like you're my kid. The only reason you're alive now is because out of respect for me.
Yes.
People have respect for me, so you're alive. And it's funny because I asked Alexa how old Joe Pesci was, and I asked Alexa how old De Niro is, and they're both the same age. And yet Pesci was
the older guy.
Was the older guy treating De Niro like the young kid.
It was wild. And like I said, I don't know how the younger generation would appreciate it because
they would know who Jimmy Hoffa was.
Exactly.
No.
Fitzsimmons.
I mean, Fitzsimmons was out of Chicago here.
Yeah, I would have known.
There were a lot of people that were, you know, thought to have done it.
And nowadays,
Tony Palermo.
They don't need mob money. You know, maybe mob money is already so ingrained everything.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they talked about the union pension funding the mob in no interest loans, you know, and things like
that. Well, that union money built Las Vegas.
Yeah. Until, I mean, something else happened where that no longer was necessary per se.
No, then they learned how to go to Deutsche Bank.
Exactly. and now, now it's just all crazy stuff.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. I can't even go there. But then the last scene is you see all the people in jail.
Yeah.
And old in their wheelchairs. Yeah. And you're like, oh.
And yet somehow they still are revered.
Yes.
They still get kind of primo attention.
Right. It was a life lived.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
I was going to go back to that show, Happy Merry Holidays or Happy Merry Whatever. In the second episode, the younger son of one of the siblings, or the older son, tells his parents that he's an atheist.
Right.
And he doesn't want to go to church now because he goes, wouldn't that be hypocritical?
I'm not going to go to midnight mass this year.
Because I don't want to be hypocritical because I don't believe in God anymore.
Since I'm an atheist.
And I'm like, I did 2 things. First off, if I'm a parent and my kid pulls that crap on me, I'm like, you can do this. But I'm gonna give you some reasons here. We go to mass for a variety of reasons. One is we go as a family and we sing and it's a good time. 2, if you're gonna play the hypocritical card, I'm going to remind you every time you're hypocritical.
Yes.
and we're gonna play this hypocritical game.
Yes.
Every time you said something to me and then you go, and you've behaved in a different way.
Yeah.
And we'll see how long that lasts.
Right.
You know.
Right. Good, good, good. I like that.
Yeah. Because, and the parents are like, well, I'm proud of him for sticking up to himself, and he mm-hmm. should tell his grandpa. Mm-hmm. And and it was so funny because he goes, I didn't want to tell grandpa because he just told me that I bet your grandma's happy looking down on us in heaven. And I didn't want to burst the old man's bubble. And I'm like, dude, okay. And I thought, you know, there are very few people out there that have such a strong atheistic belief mm-hmm. that when a loved one dies, they're no longer in their consciousness.
Right.
It's like, she's dead. Dead yeah. to me. Dead everywhere. There's no yeah. reason she's not looking
You're
down.
You're dead to me.
Dead to me. Because even if you were atheist, you probably would still have the energy of your beloved yeah. near you that you want to talk to.
Yeah,
and
or
so
they're
forth.
Just in your heart.
Yes. So I think the older you get, maybe religion, spirituality, God, all that stuff does become more fluid.
It's just more malleable.
It is.
And you can afford a little kindness to somebody.
I agree.
You don't have to give them, like, somebody said, you know, oh, I, you know, prayed to God or whatever. You don't have to tell them you're like, really, you know, that doesn't, falls on deaf ears, right? You know,
right.
that's already done or whatever
yeah.
you're going to say.
Right.
You know, you can just kind of like go along with it, buddy.
Exactly. Go along with it. Exactly.
Go along to get along.
And what we now know.
I think.
I mean, I know that I'm happier with faith in my life. And I have I expand my definition of God all the time. And the more I know about myth, or, you know, I don't know how to, my understanding of the Bible becomes deeper all the time. And so.
And broader.
And broader.
Yeah.
So, don't tell me how to live. I won't tell you how to live.
Because we're still a work in progress.
But what I really do know is that if, typically people have, quote unquote, gods in their own lives.
Most 100%.
Everybody. You may not say it's Jesus or, you know, well, Allah or
what,
whatever.
What's that line, though, about, you know, you just don't believe in one God.
Well, yeah, everybody's an atheist.
Yeah,
in some respects,
yeah.
Because if you just believe in one God, you don't believe the other thousand of gods that are out there.
Yeah,
and if you believe in this God, you don't believe the other gods. We're all atheists in some respects.
In some sense,
and I'm like, oh, I thought that was a good line. That's touche.
Yeah.
Touche. Touche. But I was reading that a God is only a thing that if something affects your life. And you have to adjust your life to it.
Right.
That could be a
that
god.
That becomes a god.
And you're like, and that's why they had the sun god.
Sun god.
You're like, well, in that definition.
Yeah. Yeah. The corn god.
I'm the sun
the
god.
The water
yeah,
god.
If you're a farmer, yeah. your god is
the
your
rain
sun.
Rain god.
You know?
Yeah.
There was that South Park episode where they had 1,000 years into the future and everybody's atheists. But there's different groups of atheists and they're all feuding because their scientific answer to the one true question is right. And like, no, 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 our answer to the one true question is right. You know, hail science and all this stuff. And you're going, yes, it is at some point, because sometimes you just need a philosophy to work with. You know, in our channeling, you said, hey, Catholicism. Nah, if you take it to the end, not a bad way to live.
Just don't change right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I don't feel so guilty about everything. If you can get away from the guilt.
Yeah.
You know, your mother always said to me, though, you go to church, Julie, for two reasons. A place to get married and a place to get buried.
That's right.
Like, that's why you go to church.
Done.
And I'm like, okay, well, cool.
My little granddaughter said, She was over and they were all asking Alexa questions.
Yeah.
And she came to me and she goes, you know what I always wanted to ask Alexa? How did God create the earth? How did he do that?
How did he do it? How did this all happen? Oh, gosh. Here we go.
Oh, no.
The
Bible states that God created
the heavens and the earth. Okay. Oh, that's it.
That's it. Thanks,
okay.
Alexa.
So Alexa just answered our question because we asked it.
Yeah.
You know, and it said God... In the Bible, said God created the heavens and the earth.
Done.
Now,
don't think any further.
Your grandchild goes, well, I want to know how.
Yeah.
And we said, with his words, he spoke it into being.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So How did that happen?
How did that happen?
Well, shut up, kid.
Yeah. Stop asking questions that no one can answer. How do you get to have all the world Disney things on your Disney app? How is that possible, kid? You know, it is. It is possible.
How do you plug something in and you can cut your own toenails?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How can you put something in and cut your own dog's toenails? This is crazy stuff. It's crazy stuff.
Are you saying that I've been cutting my toenails with my dog's toenails?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
No.
That's what I'm saying. Exactly. Exactly. So, girlfriend, anything else going on in your life?
Mm-mm.
All right, cool. So how's the show?
It was great.
It was great. It was great.